With Don's Deeds, our concert for April with the Harrisburg Symphony, Richard Strauss's Don Quixote on the program, but we've got other heroes or characters as
or
well.
Or anti-heroes.
Anti-heroes. In the case of Billy the Kid with Aaron Copland, we've got one of the great legends of the Wild West. How does this work into a ballet?
Well, the story of Billy the Kid is told by Aaron Copland, or at least the legend that comprises the story of Billy the Kid, is portrayed in the ballet. But here, too, like in Spartacus, I think the plot of the ballet is less important than the brilliance of the music. Mm-hmm. And what Aaron Copland really is doing is creating a portrait of the Old West with shootouts and with celebrations and with just sunrises over the plains. And he really, in music like this, this is one of the early ballets, one of the early Western ballets, where Aaron Copland is inventing mm-hmm. What American music is going to sound like.
Right.
After this piece, after Appalachian Spring and after Rodeo, the sound of music portraying the Old West became this, mm-hmm. with chords upon chords, with folk music wrapped into a classical genre, with changing rhythms, with sharp rhythms, mm-hmm. and syncopations. And so when we listen to Billy the Kid, yes, we're getting the story of Billy robbing this, and then the shootout, and Billy dying, and then the townspeople celebrating. But what I think is the true genius of this work is not the portrayal of the plot, but rather the incredible genius of the inventiveness of the music.
I know the prairie music is one of those, the wide open spaces, which of course is what everybody then took to be American music.
Yep.
It's interesting because one of the pieces he wrote shortly before this, he called Music for Radio, and they thought that didn't have a very good ring to it. So they had a contest to see who could come up with a better title, and somebody suggested after hearing it that they call it prairie music.
Uh-huh.
So he was already into this style, and I don't know how much thought he put into the idea of I'm going to create something that sounds like prairies, or if that's just what everybody assumes.
It's an interesting question, and I guess it's in the end it's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
Whether he stumbled upon it or not, when you listen to this music, it almost sounds like you're sitting and watching a movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's very cinematic music. Mm-hmm. When you hear the opening prairie music, you can imagine, a panning of the prairie and the sun rising in the background and people awakening and just the power of the starkness of this environment. And so, Copland defined himself with this ballet and the two subsequent Western ballets. Mm-hmm. When people think of Copland, these are the pieces they think of. And I think he did resent it a little bit. I mean, certainly later on, the story of Rodeo is that he didn't want to do it.
Right.
He didn't want to do another Western ballet because he thought it would pigeonhole himself. And I'm glad he did. Obviously.
It's great music, but it did pigeonhole him.
Him. Yeah. In the end, he is thought of for music like this, and not as much for music that he wrote that is equally wonderful that mm-hmm. isn't about
right.
the prairie.
I know he sort of meekly complained about it. It's like, well, I'm a Jewish boy from Brooklyn, and here he is, the image of the great American Western.
That's right.
Sort of composer with that.
But the music is infectious.
It
gets under your skin. It's a delight to listen to. The dance is absolutely inherent in the music.
Mm-hmm.
It's not hard to imagine the dance listening to the music. You can compare this to Spartacus, where the music is much less obviously dance music, mm-hmm. in my mind.
Mm-hmm. And I know Copland is, a very accomplished film composer. There's lots of films that
yep.
he's written music for. And I know when you watch the ballets, there's often a lot of space music, for just scene setting.
That's right.
So, which is a lot of what we hear in some of this, what I would call the slower sections, the expansive sections.
Yeah.
And then you have the rowdy gunfight, which you can't miss.
No, the gunfight does kind of hit you over the head.
How does he do that? I mean, how does that score?
What's interesting is when you listen to it, it's very hard to feel the rhythm of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's ticka 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 ticka, boom boom boom, ticka 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 ticka, and it's sporadic. There's no regularity to the rhythms. And so what it really sounds like is an alternation between this kind of machine gun fire. I guess it's not machine gun fire,
yeah.
but this rat-a-tat kind of music, and then very powerful low notes in the low brass and in in the timpani.
Yeah.
But he writes it out very specifically. I mean, there's no arbitrariness to it, but he does kind of forego meter at this point, not because it's not written in a meter, but because you can't feel it.
Right.
And it does feel a little bit more out of The Rite of Spring.
Mm-hmm.
And you can certainly find, you know, antecedents there, certainly for a boom, boom, boom. You look at the last movement of The Rite of Spring, and the timpani is alternating between minor thirds. It's not hard to make
much
that
of the
leap.
Same thing. So with Billy the Kid, and we have Spartacus, and now we're going to talk about Don Quixote, which is, I guess we could say, the major work on the program.
It is the major work on any program in which it is found.
Right, and we'll talk about that on the next podcast. Check out the next link.
See you soon.